Poland has received more refugees from Ukraine than any other country. While Moscow has warned its government to stay out of the war, but is there a risk of a spillover? And if so, what would be the fallout? This is Inside Story. Hello, welcome to the program. I'm Hazem Seeker. Russia's invasion of Ukraine has had a direct impact on neighboring countries, most of whom are members of NATO. Poland has become vital in the Western effort to defend Ukraine, with some of the fighting getting close to its border. Last week, Russian forces targeted the western Ukrainian city of Lviv near the Polish border, just as the U.S. president was visiting Poland. And according to Ukraine's military, 3 weeks after the war began, a Russian drone flew over Poland before entering Ukrainian airspace where it was shot down. The situation has forced NATO to decide on how to respond to incidents like this inside the borders of its member states. U.S. President Joe Biden visited Ukrainian refugees and NATO troops in the Polish capital, Warsaw, on Saturday. During a speech to a large crowd, he warned Russia against violating NATO territory.
Don't even think about moving on one single inch of NATO territory. We have sacred obligation. We have a sacred obligation under Article 5 to defend each and every inch of NATO territory.
Well, Poland has had an important role since the conflict began last month. It went from rejecting migrants from the Middle East to opening its doors to those from Ukraine, hosting more than 2 million people, the largest group of Ukrainian refugees in Europe. Poland hosts NATO battle groups to deter Russia and reinforce other members when needed. And along with Romania, it's also a gateway for NATO arms supplies heading to Ukraine. Hundreds of Stinger missiles, Javelin anti-tank weapons, and other munitions have passed through its borders. Well, let's bring in our guest now to talk more about this in Warsaw, Ray Wojcik. He is a senior fellow at the Center for European Policy Analysis and a former military attaché at the U.S. Embassy in Warsaw. In Brussels, Robert Schell, a senior fellow at the Kazimierz Pulaski Foundation in Poland and a former Polish diplomat and NATO official. And joining us from Oxford in England, Samuel Romany, an associate fellow at the Royal United Services Institute. Good to have you all with us. So, Ray Wojcik, if I could start with you, since you are in Warsaw. What's the mood in the country right now with the significant role that Poland now finds itself in here?
Well, to start off with, in general, the Polish population has done a remarkable job, and the government in hosting literally now millions. So we're seeing more people migrating or refugees flowing into Poland than we've seen refugee flows in this short span of time since World War II. I think it's an important point to highlight. You mentioned the migrants on the Belarus border. This is all part of the full operation that Putin initiated last summer. That hybrid warfare attack against the Polish border, those were migrants being used as weapons against Poland, destabilizing the border, and then also tying up the military force so that they can't concentrate and focus on their primary mission. But overall, generally, the Poles are very positive about what they're able to do to help their Ukrainian brothers. They see this existential crisis for them, for Ukraine, as an existential crisis for Poland, should they lose.
And Robert Schell, how do you see Poland's role in all of this, particularly when you remember that before this conflict started, Poland has had the reputation of being kind of the bad boys of Europe up till then, with a lot of criticism about their moves that inside Poland that were seen as trampling on the judiciary, on independent media, and backsliding over democratic norms. And yet now it is a very important player in all of this.
Well, I mean, you know, there are, of course, nobody's perfect, and there are various issues which I'm frankly, indeed, as you mentioned, to do with a dispute that the Polish government has had, for instance, with, you know, EU institutions. But you know, and Poland has, and Polish Ray is actually spending more time, also can confirm that, that, you know, Polish political scene is quite polarized. But having said all this, there is a very strong degree of unity on this issue. It's really bipartisan. There is not that much, you know, difference, frankly. If there's debate, you know, it's about, if you like, the tactics, it's about the details of response. But, you know, Poland knows the threat, and Poland has been among those countries who have been providing, you know, a very realistic analysis of the situation. It has not always been heard sufficiently, you know, strongly, so to speak, in other in international institutions. But it's not about being vindicated by the analysis. The key issue is, like you mentioned at the beginning, Poland is actually the key country in terms of both, handling of the refugee, which is, you know, crisis, which I think, you know, Poles have really rushed to help the Ukrainians. And so that's one miscalculation of Putin. But also Poland indeed is the frontline state, and it's not only hosting, you know, allied troops. Now it's about 10,000 allied troops, predominantly American, but not only, and providing, of course, the vital, essentially hub facility for the essential, you know, defense assistance to Ukraine. But actually, Poland is also doing a lot when it comes to, you know, increasing, for example, defense expenditure, you know, enacting the necessary legislation. So in other words, Poland is, you know, taking not only this crisis very seriously, but it's responding. So, you know, in a way which frankly, you know, it would be good if it was copied by more countries, particularly in Western Europe. So that is perhaps one of the key reasons why President Biden came straight from Brussels meeting of NATO, EU and G7 to Poland, not only to Warsaw, but also to meet U.S. troops in Rzeszów.
Samuel Romany, if we could talk about the security aspect of this, and we mentioned at the top there the risk of a spillover if this escalates into something beyond Ukraine's borders. If that does happen, Poland is likely to be very much in the eye of that storm.
Well, I think that there's certainly a grave risk of an accidental escalation that drags Poland into a broader sense of conflict. Because even though Russia claims that it's pivoted its military operation towards focusing on the liberation of Donbass, as it calls it, so moving towards eastern Ukraine, we've seen a continuation of strikes in western Ukraine, strikes on oil depots, communications towers, S-300 air defense systems, factory and munitions factories inside Lviv, and even as well as Lutsk. And one of those strikes recently hit between 10 kilometers of the Polish border. So it's not inconceivable there could be an accidental strike that brings Poland into it. They've already had an errant missile strike that hit a Turkish ship on the first day of the war. So that kind of accident is possible. In terms of a deliberate Russian attack on Poland, I think that that's quite remote. I think in terms of risk, the countries that are most at risk are the neutral post-Soviet states, Georgia and Moldova, probably followed by Estonia, Lithuania, and Bosnia, because the Russians are threatened there, and then Poland being further removed from that.
Ray Wojcik, one thing you notice about Poland's approach to all of this as well, in contrast with some of its European and NATO partners, is that they've taken much more of a hardline approach to Russia than some of their allies. They've wanted more forceful sanctions. They've wanted more in terms of defensive assistance to the Ukrainian forces, but they've been overruled on that up to now. What do you make of that?
Well, I mean, that's just part and parcel of Polish history. There's a long, problematic history in this region, and what the Russians did here, colluding with the Germans in World War II, what the Russians did by occupying Poland for 123 years, those are long memories. And the Poles never, ever, even with the NATO-Russian Founding Act in 1997, fully bought into the idea that Russia would become a flourishing democracy. And as Robert pointed out, those threat assessments that the Poles, Baltic states, and Romanians, for example, were pushing and called Russophobic by many have been borne out to be true. So in the case of a Polish focus on defense preparedness, as Robert pointed out, not only is 3% defense spending being is also announced, but as far as NATO GDP spending, that puts Poland at number two. The United States is the only other ally that will be spending more on defense. Poland has pledged to increase their military size from approximately 140,000 territorial and active today to almost doubling or more, 300,000 troops total when you at the end of the day. And then Poland is focused on a big modernization program that predates this latest attack. The Poles are very sanguine from even before 2008 when the Russians invaded Georgia. So the Poles take this very seriously, and they're very disappointed all these years that the West Europeans mostly have a different view. A good part, if there could be said any good part, is the West Europeans are waking up. They see the Germans talking about their defense spending changes, modernizing their military, and being a more willing and able facilitator of defense on NATO's eastern flank. So those are all good things, but it's coming at a very late date. And same thing for U.S. Supplying of weapons to Ukraine. Now, as far as the big initiatives, the three that the Poles have really pushed and unfortunately have not occurred, one is the MiG-29 transfer, very disappointing how that worked out from Poland to Ukraine. The second is the no-fly zone. Poland is a big supporter of that. And then also a ground mission. Poland wanted NATO to at least consider a way to protect humanitarian quarters with a ground peacekeeping, probably more like a peacemaking mission. So all those are strong initiatives supporting Ukraine. Hopefully they'll pick up momentum.
Robert Schell, what do you make of the relationship between the EU as a whole and Poland right now, given that they become a kind of an indispensable partner in all of this? Will this newfound favor kind of embolden the government in Warsaw now?
Well, you know, politics never stops, obviously. So there are some issues, but I think they kind of, you know, hopefully they sort of park to be dealt separately. The important thing is, you know, is that in Poland there is a, very, very strong support to the European Union. I mean, you know, I think only NATO probably, you know, gathers higher figures when it comes to opinion polls. But it's fair to say that, you know, EU as an institution has traveled the wrong road as well. I mean, there's been a lot of action, not just, you know, talk as it used to be the case, you know, the famous, you know, expressing concerns, etc. EU is really a key player when it comes to sanctions. And, you know, at the moment, I would say the EU institutions have really been quite exemplary in terms of pushing forward. The problem, as always, is that of course you need all the capitals to line up. And at the moment, Poland is very strongly, he's not alone, of course, but you know, arguing for going for where it really hurts the Kremlin regime, which is essentially the gas and oil exports. That is, again, you see, Poland, has done a bit more homework. I mean, the gist of it is that by the end of this year, Poland will be totally independent of Russian gas because it's taken steps to actually invest in, for instance, liquefied gas and things of that nature, alternative routes. So, of course, some other countries in Europe are slightly less prepared. But nevertheless, I think that there is a gathering of momentum. And there's also, a certain kind of political example. I would just mention the fact that no matter, I know there's been some critical or even some sniping remarks from the sidelines, but the Ukrainians appreciated the fact that Poland took the lead actually in having, you know, three prime ministers from Poland, Czechia, and Slovenia traveling to Kiev and meet with President Zelensky, which was, you know, the only visit of that level to happen. So I think, you know, Poland is kind of showing the way. But yes, I mean, some issues related to what you mentioned, the question of the, you know, the judicial system, they will need to be kind of, you know, discussed further. But at the moment, the important thing is that there is unity among organizations and there is a determination to actually press ahead and impose such high costs on the regime in Russia that it will reconsider what it's doing right now. But of course, you know, one needs to support the Ukrainians in their fight. And that's also something that Warsaw is very strongly arguing for. So, yes, I mean, it's the crisis brings out the best, one could say, in those who care about security and support for those victims of aggression.
Let's pick up on some of that with Samuel Romany, and I want to ask you, at some stage, when Ukraine is no longer dominating the headlines, if there's a negotiated peace or the war becomes one of attrition and just falls out of the spotlight, the underlying issues, the rule of law dispute with Poland, with the EU, are not going to go away, are they? I mean, those issues are going to have to be addressed.
Well, certainly. I mean, I think that Poland has certainly used and leveraged this crisis to be a vanguard in terms of dealing with Russia, and that's been a very positive thing. I mean, Poland has been able to actually steer and influence EU policy in the direction of energy, because it was one of the most dependent countries on coal coming from Russia, up to 70%. And it was made an early ban on that, and that helped steer more European countries towards at least discussing the energy embargo. We've seen Poland take the lead on a variety of other issues, from peacekeeping to arms transfers. So that leadership, that role of Poland as both a leader and an outlier, is quite interesting. And I think it's something that will kind of continue to persist even after this crisis, because the rule of law issues won't be going away.
Ray Wojcik, what do you make of that dynamic? There's a kind of a push and pull thing going on here between Poland and its dealings with other European partners.
Yeah, I would say two things on this point. One is, if you try to understand the position of the current government of Poland, there's two sides to the story. So the government of Poland sees their reformation or their reforms in the court system. Previously, they tried to do some things with the media and so forth in other areas. They see that is their domain to deal with. So part of the argument with the EU and also by extension the United States is these are things that are domestic issues that we want to change or things that were not reformed during the communist time. We want to reform them. So I think there's two sides of the story. It's not all about what you read in the West, in my view, that Poland is somehow an autocratic or almost an autocratic state, which I think totally overblows what the reality is on the ground here. So that's one. The other is the U.S. ambassador, relatively new, son of Zbigniew Brzezinski, Mark Brzezinski, has made it clear over and over in Washington and then here since he's arrived, that even though those issues are issues he wants to work on and deal with the Poles, there's going to be no daylight in between on security defense issues and what's the mission at hand right now. So those issues are not going to play a role or a primary role in any of the discussions going on with the United States and Poland. In fact, if anything, things are speeding up on security defense as far as weapons transfers to Poland and then transfers from Poland to Ukraine.
Robert Schell, what do you see as the main security issues for Poland in this going forward in terms of its defensive readiness should this conflict escalate?
Well, I mean, first of all, one needs to keep one's cool. So, you know, we cannot basically allow ourselves to be kind of intimidated by, relatively skillful, although by now I think, the methods are known to everybody, a narrative of the Kremlin, because that's basically what they're trying to do. And, we've seen some direct, verbal disinformation attacks on Poland, sort of article by the former president Medvedev. Now, the Poles are not easily scared, so I think, we'll keep the cool. But of course, there are various issues related to the way that Russia is conducting this war in Ukraine, which is not really winning it, and Ukrainians have proven to be in an open battle much more successful. And the Russian army, I mean, the myth of the Russian army as successful and efficient is gone. But having said this, Russia has shown itself to be once again be totally unconcerned about, human life, the use of totally disproportionate force and basically, attack on the civilians. So that is something which, the Poles and other NATO members have to take very seriously. Hence, there'll be, I think, more stress on the kind of, protection against missiles and so on. And any attack, obviously, on Russia or NATO countries would be suicidal for Russia. But, you know, we don't want to see even one inch of, for instance, Polish territory to be destroyed by the madmen in the Kremlin. So I think there is not, well, concern that there is work going on right now to configure NATO to be even more, you know, directly kind of protecting the defensive lines of not just Poland, but the Baltic states, and also helping other countries that were mentioned in the region, such as, for instance, you know, Georgia, also even the Balkans, who knows, you know. So it's a kind of multifaceted effort. But, you know, it just shows that the anniversary of NATO membership, which we kind of celebrated recently, has been one of the, you know, this, you know, joining NATO has been one of the best things that happened to Poland, because it's a completely different ballgame when you are, you know, together with other 29 allies, and we know that we will win. But you have to be prepared for the unexpected, because that's the kind of modus operandi of the Russian of the Kremlin regime.
Samuel Romany, how do you see Poland's role in this? The longer this goes on.
Well, I see Poland playing an increasingly decisive role, both in terms of bringing European countries together via trilateral frameworks. I think the Polish, Czech Republic, Slovenian framework, which has already produced a 10-point plan, is one positive step. Another is obviously the British, Polish, Ukrainian platform that's also been created. That's another positive step. And given the fact that Poland and Britain are both vital contributors to arming Ukraine, Britain with the movement of NLAWs and other anti-tank weapons especially, and training, Poland acting using its borders as a conduit for it. Those trilateral frameworks will be very important for Polish influence going forward. In terms of policies that Poland will be bringing forward, there are several that I think that they'll be really trying to advance with particular vigor. One will probably be cutting the Russian banks off, the remaining ones off from SWIFT, and there's already support for that inside the United States. We're seeing Jim Risch, for example, talking about secondary sanctions on Russian banks, U.S.-Poland cooperation in the financial punishment of Russia is something we should watch for. Poland might also be pushing for Switzerland and any remaining European countries that are on the fence about banning RT and Sputnik to make that kind of step, as well as granting Russians who are defecting and dissidents asylum, particularly those from the military, and pushing towards more comprehensive and sweeping sanctions on individual Russians, like the 2 million Russians who are supportive of the United Russia Party and some other ventures like that, could be things that Poland will be lobbying the EU to do. So it'll play a very active role in the sanctions regime and also in the coordination of military assistance to Ukraine moving forward.
Ray Wojcik, if I could turn back to you on this, on what's probably going to be the last word. There's been talk for several years of permanently assigning US and NATO forces more to Poland. Do you think that's a real possibility now?
Yes, I do. And I think the interesting point about that is in the last couple of years, just like the threat assessment, where the polls had been maligned a little bit by some in the West, Russophobic, what do you, let's, we can get along. The polls were always clear-eyed about this. And then when the polls proposed this permanent basing of American forces specifically and or NATO forces on the eastern flank, the joke came out about Fort Trump, and it was going to be NATO, and everybody focused and made a laughing point about Fort Trump. Well, the bottom line is it was a great initiative. Poland drew up two different papers about it, signed an agreement with the United States on a lot of new initiatives, not a permanent base yet, but we're getting much closer because Poland laid that groundwork. And I think the U.S. and NATO, you hear Secretary Stoltenberg intimating this every day now, is much closer to considering permanent basing U.S. forces and other allies all along the eastern flank. I think it will become a reality.
All right, on that, we are going to have to leave it. Thanks very much to all three of you, Ray Wojcik, Robert Schell, and Samuel Romany. Thanks very much for being on Inside Story. And thank you, as always, for watching. Remember, you can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, you can go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. For me, Hazem Sika, and the whole team here in Doha, bye for now.